Hello and welcome to the Torah Simcha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Aviva Orlean, and today we will be studying Shmuel Beis, Perek Tes Vav, the 15th chapter. We will learn in this chapter of the tragic turn of events where Avshalom outwardly rebels against David HaMelech. And here we will see yet again another punishment of David as a result of his act with Bathsheba. Meaning that as part of his punishment, the Hashgacha Pratis, or the Shmira, was removed from David's house so that the family encountered many obstacles that they were unable to ward off without divine assistance. The beginning of the Perek, Sukkim Aleph through Hay, discuss Avshalom's amassing many horses and a huge entourage that would ceremoniously accompany him, which would obviously indicate a high level of prestige. So Avshalom is going to gradually garner support and draw the people away from David. Avshalom would stand at the gates of the palace where people would go to David for judgment. They would go to Beis Din, and he would strike up conversations with them. He would ask them where they're from, and he would ask them about their cases, and he would tell them that really there was nobody that was really capable of judging them fairly. The king is not capable of judging you fairly. And then in Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4, Vayomer Avshalom, mi simeni shofet ba'aretz. Avshalom said to these people, wow, if only I could be appointed as the high judge in the land. Va'alayavo kol ish asher yelo riv umishpat v'hitz taktiv. Anybody that had any issues that needed to come to Beis Din, they should come to me, and I would judge them fairly. Avshalom was exploiting those people who came to Beis Din who were by definition disgruntled because they had something to settle. And he brought validation to them by saying, I can judge you fairly. And in this way, he was able to develop a following. He was really a very brilliant manipulator and politician. And like a true politician in Pasuk Hey, Vayapi Krav Ish Lehishtachavoslo, and when anybody would come and bow down to him, actually he was after all royalty, Vishalachas Yadov Hechziklo Venashaklo, he would grab his hand and he would kiss the person. In other words, no, you don't have to bow down to me, we're equals, I'm going to kiss you. And this is how he developed a following. And then the Navi continues in Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6, Vayas Avshalom kadavar hazeh l'chol Yisrael asher yavo l'mishpat el hamelech. And this is what Avshalom would do. He would stand by the gates every morning, and this was his routine. Through this campaign, Vayiganev Avshalom eslev anshe Yisrael. Avshalom stole the hearts of the people of B'nai Yisrael. And he continues and forges ahead with his plans in a very shrewd way. In Pasuk Zion 7, Vayihimiketz arba'im shana, it was at the end of 40 years, and we will speak about what this 40 years is referring to in a few moments. Vayomer Avshalom el hamelach, and Avshalom said to the king, Elchanav ashalem es nidri asher nadarti lahashem b'chevron. I want to go and fulfill my oath that I made, and I want to fulfill this oath when I go to Chevron. Ki neder nadar avdecha b'shifti b'geshor ba'aram lemor. Because when I was in Geshor with my grandfather, I made an oath saying, Im yashov yishiveni Hashem Yerushalayim va'avadati es Hashem. If Hashem returns me safely to Yerushalayim, I will serve Hashem. So Avshalom tells his father that he wants to go to Hebron to fulfill a neder, an oath that he made while in Geshur, that if he returns safely, he will serve Hashem through this neder. And we said that in our last class that he, according to some opinions, the oath was an oath of Nazirus, and he wanted to bring karbanos associated with that Nazirus. Rashi tells us, Amru Rabboseinu, from the Gemara in Temuros, Lahavi kvasim yichevron, kisham hayu kvasim shmeinim. Avshalom said that he wanted to use sheep specifically from Chevron because Chevron was known to have better and fatter sheep. In other words, he was feigning piety to David HaMelech, that he wants to ensure that he can do a hidur mitzvah with the bringing of these karbanos using only the best sheep, and therefore he wants to go to Chevron. This is eerily similar to Esav HaRasha, who according to the Medrash asks his father how to tithe salt, which halachically does not need to be tithed. So the request that Avshalom made, that he wants to go down to Chevron, I assume people would be there, there would be crowds of people there. David agrees to this because it doesn't seem to be an unusual request. He wants to bring karbanos in Chevron with the best sheep possible. So the second phase of his plan is that he wants to be stationed in Chevron, the place from where David began his own melucha. The city obviously was a main center for Israel, one that is therefore a strategically advantageous place to stage a rebellion. So getting back to the in Pasuk Zion 7, when it tells us Vayehi Miketz Arba'im Shana, what is this 40 years? What is this referring to? So according to virtually all of the Mefarshim, they bring the Gemara in Temura that this was 40 years since Bnei Yisrael had requested a king, meaning it was sort of a milestone. The institution of Melucha, as it were, was complete. We know that the number 40 is a number representing completion or maturity. We have 40 days in Har Sinai, 40 days in the Midbar, and so on. So the significance of this is that Bnei Yisrael's request for asking for a king, as we know, was frowned upon because they asked for it prematurely. And they seem to have rejected Shmuel's leadership by asking. And as Hashem explicitly tells Shmuel, however, in Sefer Shmuel Aleph, Perches Pasuk Zion, Ki lo oscha ma'asu, ki osi ma'asu mimlocha lehem. Shmuel, you don't have to be upset because it's the people did not reject you. They, in essence, rejected me, Hashem, from ruling over them. The Musar HaNaviim brings the Maharsha, who says that the Navi is linking the two rejections or rebellions, as it were. The initial request to ask for a king was a rejection or rebellion against Hashem, to all appearances, a rejection of Shmuel, the current leader. And now the same pattern is repeating itself. The people are gathering around Avshalom and they will reject their current leader, David. So one rejection leads to another. The Musar HaNaviim adds to this and suggests that the 40 years, because it was a milestone, that it was 40 years since the institution of Melucha was requested, Avshalom made a gathering celebrating this 40th year of the institution of monarchy, during which time he spoke of the house of Yehuda, hinting that he would be the logical choice for the next king. So getting back to Avshalom wanting to go to Hebron to bring this karbanos, David agrees. And in Pasuk Tes 9, Vayomer lo hamelech lech b'shalom, and the king agrees and says, go in peace. Vayakam vayelech Hebron, he got up and he went to Hebron. The Gemara in Brachos, focusing on the lashon of lech b'shalom with the letter beis, tells us, haniftar mechaveiro, al yomru lo lech b'shalom, ela lech l'shalom. When a person leaves his friend, he should tell him, he should not say lech b'shalom with a beis, go in peace, but he should say, lech l'shalom, go to peace, go to the place of peace. Shehare Yisro she'amar lo l'moshe lech l'shalom, because Yisro who said to Moshe lech l'shalom with a lamid, alav v'hitzliach, that he was successful. David she'amar lo l'avshalom lech b'shalom, halach v'nitla. And David, who said lech b'shalom to Avshalom, this obviously did not end successfully because he left and he ended up being hanged. And in fact, when a person dies, we say lech b'shalom, and to a living person, when they leave, we say lech l'shalom. So David bids farewell to Avshalom. He goes to Hebron, and by this time he has gained in popularity. He has his supporters, the Pasuk calls it meraglim, spies or ambassadors, fanned out across the entire country, who were ostensibly campaigning and garnering more and more support for Avshalom. According to the Malbim, this was all done clandestinely, secretly, so that David would not get wind of what was going on. Or according to the Das Sofrim, they actually provided misinformation, or in today's terms, fake news, that David himself appointed Avshalom to be king now, so that the balance of power would shift quickly. And by the time it did shift, the people would not know what hit them. So David is in Hebron, Avshalom is in Hebron, and he orders that when the people hear the shofar blast, then they will know that Avshalom is king. Very well could be that this was sort of a relay of shofar blast starting in Hebron, with one set of blasts signaling people in the neighboring villages, who would then blow their own shofar, signaling the people in the next village, and so forth. The Pasuk then continued, the Navi continues to tell us that he gathered 200 dignitaries with him on his way to Hebron, and Rashi, quoting the Gemara Yerushalmi, tells us that this too was done in a very shrewd manner, and he showed two people at a time a forged document that ostensibly gave royal permission, that David gave permission for two dignitaries to accompany him to Hebron, which they did. And what he did was, after he showed it to one set of people, he would then show it to another set of two people. So that slowly he was gathering more and more men. So by the time he got to Hebron, he has 200 dignitaries at his side. These dignitaries are obviously lending him credibility, but they are unwittingly supporting him. They don't even realize what they're doing, which is why the Pasuk tells us In Pasuk Yud Aleph 11, Ve'esav Shalom Halchu Masayim Ish Mirushalayim Kru'im Veholchim Litumam Ve'lo Yadu Kol Davar. These 200 men accompanied Avshalom Litumam. They were innocent. They had no idea that they were accomplices in Avshalom's rebellion. So the next phase of Avshalom's plan is that he manages to gain the support of Achitophel, a very important advisor of David, who is known to be a brilliant, brilliant man whose advice was sought by everybody. Avshalom manages to have him switch allegiances away from David to him. And this is very significant because it obviously lends him even more credibility, because not only was he an incredibly brilliant strategist and he switched allegiances, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us Gemara in Sanhedrin Samach Tes that Achitophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba, and they learn this from the pasuk which introduces us to Bathsheba in Perek Yud Aleph, that Bathsheba is the daughter of Eliam, and this Eliam is later introduced to us in Perek Chaf Gimel as the son of Achitophel. So Achitophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba. So for him to switch sides away from David to Avshalom was a huge statement. So we see from here that Avshalom is steadily gaining traction. David gets word that the people are starting to follow Avshalom, and David realizes this is very serious because he knows Avshalom and he knows his charisma, and therefore he orders everybody in his inner circle to flee, because if they stay, they will surely be killed. David, his servants, his household, including his wives and children, left on foot. They did not take any chariots with them so as not to alert Avshalom's people that they have left the palace. The Navi tells us that his pilakshim, his concubines, he left in the palace. It says lishmaras habayis, to guard the palace or to maintain a presence in the palace. It seems that David did not really realize or think that there would be any danger because of their status as pilakshim, that they were not going to be a target. But little did he know, unfortunately, that the pilakshim would suffer at the hands of Avshalom. The Navi then continues to tell us that David went along with this whole group of people, and the placey went with him. This crazy of a placey, according to the Targum, is a special unit of archers, or the Ralbach says it's some members of the Sanhedrin, and the Gemara Brachos tells us that it's the Urim V'Tumim. In any case, so David is on the run. A very good non-Jewish friend was with this group, and David implores him not to put himself in danger and to leave, to which this man, Ittai Hagiti, responds that he will absolutely not abandon David. He is loyal to him. So David is on the run from his own son with his entire household, and Pasuk Chaf Gimel 23 describes the pathetic sight of David on the run. V'chol ha'aretz bochim, kol gadol, v'chol ha'am ovrim. Everybody was crying with him. V'hamelech ovir b'nachal kidron, v'chol ha'am ovrim al p'nei derech es hamidbar. And everybody went along with David. This image of this majestic king forced to flee for his life, this moved the people to tears. V'chol ha'am bochim. Tzadok and Evyasar, the Kohen Gadol, Tzadok was a Kohen, and the Levium were with David as well, and the Aron came with them as well. David then devises countermeasures and tells Tzadok and Evyasar to go back to Yerushalayim with the Aron. And here again, we see David's acceptance of his fate and understands that he is in God's hands. And he says in Pasuk Chaf Hei 25, Vayomer HaMelech Tzadok, Hashevis Aron Elokim Ha'ir, return the Aron to the city, to Yerushalayim, Im Emtzachin Beinei Hashem, V'Hashivani V'Harani Oso V'Esnaveo. And if I find favor in God's eyes, if Hashem wills it, I will be able to see the Aron in its abode. V'im Ko Yomar Lo Chafatz Tibach, but if Hashem will tell me that he does not want me, meaning things may not turn out the way I would like it, Hineni Aseli Kasher Tov Be'enav, Hashem will do whatever is just in his eyes. He is Matzdik Es Hadin. He then tells Evyasar and Tzadok to go back to Yerushalayim and pretend as if they had never left, and that they should spy on Avshalom and send word back to David of any important developments. Tzadok and Evyasar apparently would not be under suspicion because of their role as Kohanim. So Tzadok and Evyasar and their two sons return to Yerushalayim with the Aron. Pasuk Lamed 30 is another description of this pathetic scene of David HaMelech on the run. The David ole b'ma'ale hazesim ole u'boche v'rosh lo chafoy v'hu holech yachef. He goes and he's crying and his head is covered in mourning. V'hu holech yachef, he's going barefoot, also a sign of mourning. V'chol am asher yitu chafu ish rosho v'alu alo v'uvacho. And they all went and they were in a state of mourning. And the Zohar explains that David was in a state of mourning not just because he had to flee from his son, but he is also engaged in deep teshuva, repentance, because he knows that this is happening because of his chait with Bathsheba. Pasuk Lamed Aleph 31 tells us that David heard that Achitophel aligned himself with Avshalom, his trusted advisor, has now switched sides. And he calls out to God and he says in the middle of the Pasuk, Vayomer David Sakel na es atzas Achitophel Hashem, please Hashem confound or confuse the advice of Achitophel, make it nullified, make it not work. Another very good friend of David HaMelech, Hushai HaArki, catches up to David. He's also in a state of mourning because of what happened. And David tries to convince him not to stay with him because his presence will really be a burden to the group of people. Radak explains that David can't worry about somebody else, but he does say that his skills would be better utilized by embedding himself in Avshalom's inner circle and pretend that he is a loyal follower so that he could nullify the advice of Achitophel. In Pasuk Lamed Dalet, Vehefarta li es atzas Achitophel, meaning that he should, if he's embedded within Avshalom's camp, he could convince Avshalom perhaps not to listen to the advice of Achitophel, which would basically be suicidal, because as we said before, Achitophel was this brilliant man, and his advice was always very sound, and he was always very spot on. He also tells him that within that inner circle will be Tzadok and Eviasar. They also will be acting as spies, and you should work together with them so that if they have information, they should relay it to you, and then you in turn should relay that information to me. Hushai HaArki agreed and went back to Yerushalayim. This rebellion of Avshalom is one of the most painful occurrences in David HaMelech's life. The Gemara in Brachos highlights David's anguish. Amar Rabbi Yochanan b'shem Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, kasha tarbus ra betoch beiso shel adam yoser mimelchemes Gog u'Magog. Debilitating family strife in somebody's house is worse than milchemes Gog u'Magog. And the reason being, because a rebellious child, one is not sure how to beseech Hashem, asking that Hashem bring justice to Avshalom. This will only further hurt his father David. You're in a quandary. Whereas we would have no issue asking God to bring justice on the enemy during milchemes Gog u'Magog. So family strife is so much worse. And despite this painful experience of a son's rebellion, David composed Tehillim Perek Gimel, as he is fleeing from Avshalom. Mizmor leDavid bevarchol mipnei Avshalom beno. It is a mizmor, a song, not a kina, not a dirge, because David realizes that everything that happens is from God. If we could return to Pasuk Lamed Beis 32, Vayhi David ba ad harosh asher yishtachaveh sham lelokim, and David came to the top of the mountain where he bowed down to Hashem, and according to Radak, this was Har HaZesim. Rashi says on that Pasuk that he would regularly go to this place whenever he would be returning to Yerushalayim, because from that vantage point, he was able to see the place where the Aron was. And the Radak says, Va'asak kein, lefi shayah nefrad mimakom ha-mikdash, v'lo ya yodea im yashuv od. He did this because he was separated from the Makom HaMikdash, and he didn't know if he was going to be able to return again. Ka'adam halokeach reshus me'ahavo begoloso, like somebody asking permission from his beloved to leave. David, whose only request was shifte beveis Hashem kol yimei chayai, he wanted that connection to God and the house of God, was not only was he forced to flee the seat of his melucha and flee from his son, but now he must leave the area of the Makom HaMikdash, which was just an added dimension to David's pain. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.